that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with water only, but with the water and the blood. It is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and the three are in agreement. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater, for the testimony of God is this, that he has testified concerning his Son. The one who believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. And the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which he has asked from him. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will forgive him and give him life to those who commit sin not leading to death. There's a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should make requests for this. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not leading to death. We know that no one who is born of God sins, but he who was born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and that he... we are born of God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true. In his Son, Jesus Christ, this is the true God and eternal life. Little children, guard yourselves from idols. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for a chance just to come and worship you, Lord. We thank you for a chance to come and hear your word, Lord. We thank you that we get to come and pray. God, we just ask your Spirit just to fall in this place, Lord, and just guide and direct, Lord. And we just ask that, God, that we can just, just live a life today pleasing to you. In name we pray. Amen. When I was reading this passage yesterday, one of the things that really stood out to me was this idea of commandments not being burdensome. You know, oftentimes we think of rules and laws as restricting us, and the reality is that was never Jesus' heart or intent. One of the things that we have to remember in this verse is that John is not referring to all of Moses' commandments, at least according to one of the study Bibles I was reading. He was strictly talking about Jesus' words himself. But we have to also remember Jesus said he didn't come to abolish the law, he came to complete the law. And so you have to find balance in that. But the reminder is that these laws and these commandments were not duty. It wasn't a duty that we had to perform. And John is trying to get us to remember this, that all of this that we're doing, these the commandments that Jesus has given us, are not to box us in, but to actually free us. When I was a teacher, we were doing a government project. And in the government project, they had to compare different types of systems. And one of the students, and I don't have the words exactly right, but said this, that a country in anarchy, a country without any government and therefore no rules or laws, is not free at all. He or she went on to say, it is a place of fear, it's the place of the unknown, it's the place of not knowing what tomorrow's going to bring. And then they went on to say a dictatorship is a fear because of law, right? And then they also went on to say democracy should be a place of finding the balance. Now, you could try to make the illusion that democracy should be the image of Christianity. I wouldn't say that. I think we can see that that's not necessarily true. But the kid was trying to make this comparison between these two different systems of government. And what they were saying is that democracy, if you go in the middle grounds, is where you try to find this balance, right? And because we're humans, it's not perfect. But when we have complete freedom, there isn't freedom. There's fear, there's anxiety, there's not knowing what's going on, what's coming, right? When I teach kids, or even here at church, I know which kids have more rules at home versus kids who have no rules at home, right? The kids who have too many rules at home versus the kids who have a medium ground of rules at home, right? And there's this too much freedom and the kids go completely crazy, and then you have this too many rules and they have too much fear, and then you have these kids who just are secure, absolutely secure in who they are because they're boundaries. My friend Maria, her sister, this is many years ago, and her sister was teaching her son not to go in the street, right? And her son was like 2 years old. So she was incredibly strict, right? And like as soon as the kid would put his toes off the grass, she would just go after him. Because she's like, I cannot have my kid step in the street. She goes, this is not a busy street. So I have to be even more on guard because he's not going to be aware of the danger because it's not there very often. Right? And as he got older, obviously she wasn't as strict on the grass. Right? And sometimes that's how God is with us. Right? We feel like these rules are burdensome or maybe our leaders at church, but they're actually there to protect us and guide us. And as we grow and mature, we can start to ease up a little bit because it's innately in us. Right? And I mean, we all know it. We all know there are Christians and non-Christians alike who like to think that Christianity is just a list of rules of do's and don'ts. But in reality, all of these things that Jesus has put in was actually for our benefit and to give us freedom, right? Within rules, there's actually freedom. No rules, there's actually no freedom. And as I was continuing to read in to the scripture, another thing that stood out to me was Jesus' humanity, right? And John is continually bringing up Jesus' humanity. Right, he's trying to get the people. We can go back and remember that there are people who are trying to make us think that Jesus just came in, but he was just an image of a human. He wasn't fully human. But the reality is Jesus was 100% human and 100% God all at the same time. And even though we might not fully conceptually understand that, that is who he was. You know, I do actually sometimes get bothered when people are like, oh, I can't believe that God could actually, you know, God can't actually become human. God said one word and there was light. So I don't understand how people can't, if God can create the world with one word, how could God also not become human? Right? And then we can see, and we remind, if we're going through difficult times, we can remember that Jesus has gone through what we've gone through. Maybe not the exact same things, right? But Jesus has gone through hardships. Jesus has gone through difficulties. He's gone through persecution. And we can remember that God can understand our deepest needs. We can also remember that God's word is true. In biblical times, you needed two to three witnesses to prove that something was true. You needed that many to testify in court, to demonstrate that what Jesus said was real, or anybody said was real when they brought it to court. And here God, once again, is referring to three people, right? Three things that testify who Jesus was. God didn't have to do that. God's word should be enough. But John is giving us this illustration, this imagery of three, demonstrating God's knowledge that we also still need truth in our life. We shouldn't need evidence to believe in God, but God knows that in our humanity, sometimes we need it. Sometimes we need him to come and show and witness to us who he truly is. It goes on to say that those who do not believe that Jesus is who he is, they're basically liars, right? And we have to be careful in the church, especially, I mean, outside of the church walls, of course, people aren't going to say the truth about Jesus. Right? Or they may know biblically what the truth is, but they don't have the truth in their heart. But in the church, we have to be very careful that we ourselves know who Jesus really is, so that we are not teaching others lies of who he is. You know, the lie that, you know, it does say Jesus, he covers all a multitude of sins, right? But that doesn't mean that's okay to sin. And I've heard so many, back home, there's a church A lot of, I won't say the name, but I'm sure you've heard of it, and their former pastor who basically, in Grand Rapids, these things won't last long, and he got ran out of town for his phrase, love wins, right? In all purposes, love wins was a great idea. But basically, he came to the conclusion that everyone is saved. So his book basically was saying that he came up with this, I don't know how he came up with it, but this idea that all humans are saved, right? He took the Bible, and this was a mega church, right? I mean, I remember the stories of him when the church first started. He was in his closet praying because he was so fearful. He didn't know if anyone would show up, and he walked out, and hundreds of people were there on day one of the service, right? I mean, it made news. It was in the newspaper, like this church that, I mean, this conservative city, this church came in with these new and it was fresh ideas. And yet as the layers started to peel off, the truth of what he believed came out. And it wasn't true of who Jesus was. You know, and actually, thankfully, the church recognized it, identified what his misteachings were, and he wasn't willing to come around. And so he left the church. Another thing that caught my attention was praying with God's will. I think it's so important that we first seek God's will when we pray. When we pray, it's not just about what we want and our desires. And those are absolutely important. God wants to hear our desires. God wants to hear our struggles. God wants to hear all that's in our heart. He already knows it, but he wants to hear it. I was at a friend's house last night, and we were talking a book she read. And she was saying how the reason why we need to pray isn't necessarily because we need to tell God. God already knows. It's because it can become a testimony to God, right? And that's part of prayer. I mean, it's not the entirety of it. But when you bring it to God, you're like, God, these are the desires of my heart. And as God answers them and as they align, it becomes a testimony, building our faith, building those around our faith. But when we're praying, we need to ask God, what is his will, right? What is it he desires for us? And as we bring our struggles and as we openly allow him to share his heart for us, as it's a two-way conversation, our prayers are going to become his prayers, his desires, his will. And as we continue to seek his will, things are going to happen. I remember this was the fast before I quit teaching, and I was fasting. I had no idea what I was fasting about that year. I was fasting because I was told to fast by church, and so I did it. But I already had the answers that I was quitting my job. I already kind of knew what was happening in my life. So I was like, life is pretty good. Honestly, I was struggling what to fast for. And God dropped into me, pray for your brothers to get married. It's like, okay. So I prayed for my brothers to get married, and then I completely forgot about it. A year and a half later, I'm standing in my brother Kenny's wedding, and I go, huh. And then 2 weeks later, I was at my brother Tony's wedding. Right? Like within that time frame, both of my brothers started to, well, actually, no, it was when I moved home, they both started dating and were engaged very quickly. That seems to be the trend with my family. But yeah, they found these godly women who are as more stubborn and opinionated than me, which is shocking that it's possible that my brothers found, because that was their biggest struggle with me growing up, that I was so opinionated. And then they found these beautiful women who really speak the truth of God and really push them and grow in them. And I completely forgot that prayer until I was standing at my brother's wedding. And God said, see what your prayers, when you align them with my will, what will come. Right? Another thing that stood out to me in this was when he talks about praying for those who sin. And as we pray for those we know God's will, it is for people to be united with him, right? If we look at praying in God's will, and then we look at believers who are in sin, we know that God's will is for them not to be in sin. And so we can freely and boldly pray, but maybe not publicly, right? Let's not cast everybody's sin out in front of each other. Let's be careful not to reveal that. But when we pray with that boldness, we know. And it can be a hard struggle, especially as a leader, when you see people who you love, who are just, or family members who are just continually in those same sins. But God is calling us. John is reminding us to continually pray for them. You know, myself included, I probably get more angry than pray when I see people not doing what God has asked them to do, when they're being disobedient. But God, and I feel John is really trying to remind us to soften our heart. This entire book is the book of love, right? I mean, I'll be honest, I didn't know how much more I could talk about love after all these weeks of doing EMP and talking about love. But that's what this whole book is about. It's about love. And we need to remember that when we're looking at people, that we need to see them through God's eyes, and he loves them, and he's gently trying to bring them back, trying to show them his love. And as we pray, things can change. John continues to talk about how we can know God. As believers, we get this great opportunity of knowing God, seeing the truth. There's a show, and I'm really not recommending it because it's probably not what Rachel and some of the inner healing people would agree with watching. So I'm really not recommending it, but it's called Grimm. And if you know anything about this show, this guy is this ordinary guy. He doesn't know his family history. And all of a sudden, he's seeing these people transform into these creatures. And they're all based on Grimm's fairy tales. Right, so these different creatures, but only he can see it, so he thinks he's going crazy. Right, and he's seeing the world with these new eyes, but he doesn't know who he is. And so his aunt comes and actually reveals to him, and he goes through this whole process of figuring out why he can see. His girlfriend can't see. These other people around him, they can't see. And it reminds me of, as Christians, we can see both the good and the evil. God has given us this ability to see into the spiritual realm when he opens our eyes that others don't see. The world is telling us certain things aren't sin. Certain things aren't against God. God's not real, right? And as Christians, we have this ability to see the truth. And John is cautioning us, saying, see the truth. See when people are misrepresenting God. See when people are saying unbiblical things about who Jesus is. And as we realize and open our eyes to this truth, it actually makes, I personally, for myself, I can see the goodness more. You know, we don't want to get bogged down with all the, like, we can't be so focused on always trying to find the demons out there. We got to be finding God out there. But we need to be able to see and understanding both, so when people are misrepresenting or when people are not in the truth, we are able to actually see that, recognize it, pray for that person, and call out what is going on. And finally, John ends this entire book. And when I first read it, I was like, this is the most odd way to end this entire book. He says, little children, guard yourselves from idols. This whole book is talking about love. It's talking about the community. And he ends it on this idea of guard yourself from idols. When I first read it, I was like, this seems to be coming out of nowhere. Right? He hasn't talked about idols once in this entire book. And so I did a little reading. And the study Bible I use says this. It refers to anything that stands between people and God, whether physical or spiritual. All the falsehoods that John has opposed in the letter are forms of idolatry. And so when he's saying guard yourself from idols, you know, he's going back to that word children, right? In chapter 2, he refers to us as children. Right, it's that tender heart of John, that tenderness, the way God sees us as children, right? And as we grow, we become more mature. But he's saying, make sure you're guarding yourself from falseness. Make sure that you are watching out for things that are not true. And so as I ask the worship leader to come up, this morning, there's just a few things I want us to do. And actually, I really feel like, because retreat starts tonight, I really want us to ask God, is there anything in our life that we've believed that is not true? Things that are holding us back from the fullness of him, holding us back from knowing who he truly is, and just allowing him to speak to us and allowing him to free us from that as we get our hearts ready for retreat. So just ask God, is there anything about him that you have believed in, or anything that you believed in him that isn't who he really is, and that he wants to set you free today?
Satisfied.
So God, we just come before you and we just ask that you release us of any burdens that we have, God, any misconceptions of why you've asked us to do the things that we've done, you've asked us to do, Lord. And we just ask, Lord, as we settle our hearts, Lord, that our hearts can really just be in alignment with you, God, that we can just hear your will so deeply in our life, God, that we can pray into your will, Lord, and that actually our will becomes, your will becomes our will, Lord. Your desires, your passions, your hopes, God, that they will be infused into us, God. And so, Lord, we just lift this up to you, God. We lift up this day. Let's turn to our community prayer. Let's pray for those in our community who are battling cancer and going through chemo and radiation therapy. Pray for those who are suffering from various illness and also our need of salvation. Let's pray for those who are suffering from various infirmities. Let's just pray that God's healing hand will be on their lives. For those who are looking and seeking jobs, let's just pray for them to have wisdom and discernment on the right opportunities, and that in this time of waiting that God will really just continue to provide for all of their needs. Pray for our mission focus. Let's pray for Japan, P. Sophia. She's actually here this morning. Tells you exactly where she is. She's behind. There she is. She's raised her hand. Let's pray for her as she arrived. Let's pray that for Cambodia, Grace. She did not arrive today. She arrived last week. But she's been here for a week and really helping out. And let's pray for Oasis House with P. Jenny O. Let's just pray for all these ministries that God will be glorified. And let's really pray for P. Sophia and Grace as they're here with us, that they'll be really refreshed and renewed, and they can just really enjoy their time with us at retreat. Let's pray for our missions council. Let's pray for PSAM and the rest of the team. Let's pray that for just wisdom and discernment and unity for this group. Pray for our local outreach teams. Let's pray for Agape, Homies, SP Lights, Freedom, Bridge, and Recreation. Let's just pray that SP can just partner with these different ministries or the people that we're encountering. Let's just pray that we can be just light in their lives. Lift up our SP Fam, our foster and adoption ministry led by Cadence. I know that Leanne and Yen have taken in a little girl. Let's pray for their family. She's living with them for a few weeks, so let's just pray that they can really just minister to that little girl, that she can really sense and feel God's love. Let's also pray for more people to step up to join this ministry, and that this church will just be a place where we really do take care of the orphans. Just lift up tonight. Let's lift up the retreat opening service. Let's just cover this room, this place. Let's pray for, let's just cover retreat, thinking of logistics and just especially our hearts, that we all get our hearts in all ready for what God is going to do this weekend. And let's just pray that God will really just, just start preparing our hearts for tonight. And let's pray for R.T. Kendall as he's preaching tonight and Bobby Connor as he arrives as well, and let's just pray that God will really use them to speak to our community in the way that God is wanting for our group, our church, for this time and this season. So God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for who you are, Lord. We thank you that you are a God of love and that you are a God who wants to free his children. Lord, I pray for our community, God, that we will really lift each other up, not tear each other down, Lord, that we will pray for each other and that we will do life together. So Lord, we just thank you, Lord. We ask that you'll just guide us today. Show us our steps, Lord, and open our eyes to what it is that you're doing. So Lord, we thank you and we love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Have a great day and enjoy the rest of your prayer time.